translation and Prabhupada by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. O Brahma, please know that the universal elements enter into the cosmos and at the same time do not enter into the cosmos. Similarly, I myself also exist within everything created. At the same time, I am outside of everything. It's a long purport, so be attentive. Not too long. The great elements of the material creation, namely earth, water, fire, air, and ether, all enter into the body of all manifested entities. The seas, the mountains, aquatics, plants, reptiles, birds, beasts, human beings, demigods, and everyone materially manifested. At the same time, such elements are differently situated. In the developed stage of consciousness, the human being can study both philosophical and physical science. But the basic principles of such sciences are nothing but the material elements and nothing more. The body of the human being and the body of the mountain are also the bodies of demigods, including Brahma and all other Brahma, are all of the same ingredients, earth, water, etc. And at the same time, the elements are beyond the body. The elements were created first and therefore they entered into the bodily construction later. But in both circumstances, they entered the cosmos and also did not enter. Similarly, the Supreme Lord, by His different energies, namely the internal and external energy, the internal and external, is within everything in the manifested cosmos. And at the same time, He is outside of everything, situated in the kingdom of God, Vaikuntha Loka, as described before. This is very nicely stated in the Brahma Samhita as follows. Ananda chinmaya rasa patibhaya bhavis tabi eva nijadupataya khalabi galoke eva nisya akhilatman bhuta govinda madi purusham tamaham bhajami. I worship the personality of God, Govinda, who by His expansion of His internal potency of transcendent existence, knowledge and bliss, enjoys in His own and expanded form. Simultaneously, He enters into every atom of the creation. This expansion of His partial and energy, this expansion of His planetary parts is also more definitely explained in the same Brahma Samhita 535 as follows. Eko api aso ratadam jagadanta kotim yachakti asti jagadat yachayananta anantastana prama chayanastanam Govinda madi purusham tamaham bhajami. I worship the personality of God, Govinda, who by one of His planetary portions enters into the existence of every universe, every particle of the atom, and thus unlimitedly manifests His infinite energy all over the material creation. The impersonalist can imagine or even perceive that the Supreme Brahman is thus all pervading, and therefore they conclude that there is no possibility of His personal form. Herein lies the mystery of His transcendental knowledge. This mystery is transcendental love of Godhead. And one who is surcharged with such transcendental love of Godhead can without difficulty see the personality of Godhead in every atom, every movable and immovable object. At the same time, he can see the personality of Godhead in His own abode, Goloka, enjoying eternal pastimes with His eternal associates, who are also expansions of His transcendental existence. This version is a real mystery of spiritual knowledge. As stated by the Lord in the beginning, Sahasram Tad Angam Cha, this mystery is the most confidential part of knowledge of the Supreme. And it is impossible for the mental speculator to discover by dint of intellectual gymnastics. This mystery can be revealed through the process recommended by Brahma Ji in Brahma Samhita as for Praman Chana Charita Bhakti Vilo Chena Santa Sadhivasa Vihidasa Vilakasayanti Yam Shamasana Machinta Guna Sarupam Govinda Madi Purusham Tamaham Bhajami. I worship the original personality of Godhead, Govinda, whom the pure devotees, in their eyes made with unmoved of love of Godhead, always observe within their hearts. This Govinda, the original personality of Godhead, is Shama Sundar, with all transcendental qualities. Therefore, although He is present in every atom, the Supreme Personality of Godhead may not be visible to the dry speculators. Still, the mystery is unfolded before the eyes of the pure devotees because their eyes are anointed with love of Godhead. And this love of Godhead can be attained only by the practice of transcendental loving service of the Lord and nothing else. The vision of the devotees is not ordinary. It is purified by the process of devotion service. In other words, as the universal elements are both within and without, similarly the Lord's name, form, quality and pastime, entourage, etc., as they are described in the revealed scriptures or as performed in the Vaikuntha Loka, far, far beyond the material cosmic manifestation, are actually being televisioned in the heart of a devotee. The man with a poor fund of knowledge cannot understand, although by material science one can see things far away by means of television. Factually, the spiritual developed person is able to have the television of the kingdom of God always reflected within his heart. This is the mystery of knowledge of the personality of Godhead. The Lord can award anyone and everyone liberation, mukti, from the bondage of material existence, yet He rarely awards the privilege of love of Godhead, as confirmed by Narada, muktim didati karichit smarna bhakti yogam. This transcendental devotional service of the Lord is so wonderful that the occupation keeps the deserving devotee always wrapped in psychological activities without deviation from the absolute truth. Thus, love of Godhead developed in the heart of a devotee is a great mystery. Brahmaji previously told Narada that the desires of Brahmaji are never unfulfilled because he is always absorbed in transcendental loving service of the Lord. Nor has he desire in his heart save and accept the transcendental service of the Lord. That is the beauty or mystery of pure process of bhakti yoga. As the Lord's desire is infallible because he is achyuta, similarly the desires of the devotee in the transcendental service of the Lord are also achyuta, infallible. This is very difficult, however, for a layman to understand without knowledge of the mystery of devotional service, as it is very difficult to know the potency of a touchstone. As a touchstone is rarely found, a pure devotee of the Lord is also rarely to be seen, even amongst millions of liberated souls. Kuteshva api mahamunim. Out of all kinds of perfections attained by the process of knowledge, yoga, perfection in devotional service is the highest of all and is the most mysterious also, even more mysterious than the eight kinds of mystic perfection attained by the process of yoga performances. In the Bhagavad Gita 18:46, the Lord therefore advised Arjuna about this bhakti yoga. Sarva yugyatmanam bhuya sinu me paramam vacha. Just hear from me again about the most confident part of instructions in Bhagavad Gita. The same was confirmed by Brahmaji to Narada in the following words. Idam bhagavatam nama yeme bhagavata idam sagraho yam vibhutainam tvam ita upala kuru. Brahmaji said to Narada, whatever I have spoken to you about the Bhagavatam was explained to me by the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and I am advising you to expand these topics nicely so that the people may easily understand the mysteries of bhakti yoga by transcendental loving service to the Lord. It is to be noted here that the mystery of bhakti yoga was disclosed to Brahmaji by the Lord Himself. Brahmaji explained the same mystery to Narada Narada explained to Vyasa, Vyasa explained to Sukadeva Goswami, and that the same knowledge is coming down in an unalloyed chain of disciplic succession. If one is fortunate enough to have received the knowledge in the transcendental disciplic succession, surely he will have the chance to understand the mystery of the Lord and that of the Srimad Bhagavatam, the sound incarnation of the Lord. Okay. O Srimad Bhagavatam, nectar of churn from the ocean of all the Vedic scriptures, O most prominent transcendental fruit of all Vedas, O you who are enriched with jewels of all spiritual philosophical conclusions, O you who grant spiritual vision to all people of the world, O life breath of Vaishnava devotees, O Lord, you are the sun who has arisen to dispel the darkness of Kali Yuga. You are actually Krishna who has come, returned amongst us. O Srimad Bhagavatam, I offer my respectful obeisance unto you. By reading you, one can attain transcendental bliss, for your symbols rain pure love of God upon the reader. You are always to be served by everyone, for you are incarnation of Krishna. O Srimad Bhagavatam, O my only friend, O my companion, O my teacher, O great wealth, O my deliverer, O good fortune, O my bliss, I offer my respectful obeisance unto you. O Srimad Bhagavatam, O giver of saintliness to the unsaintly, O uplifter of the very fallen, please do not ever leave me. Please become manifest before, upon my heart and upon my throat, accompanied by pure love for Krishna. So in the purport, Prabhupada explains about Krishna's being all-pervading. And in the Chaitanya Charitamrita is mentioned, Prabhupada comments, he says, someone who does not have faith that Krishna is all-pervading, he will fall down in spiritual life. Just not having the understanding that Krishna is omnipotent, all-pervading, he will fall down in spiritual life. Prabhupada elaborates in Nectar Devotion, Srimad Bhagavatam, explaining how as devotees one should come to the Madhyama platform. There's three levels, there's a Kanishtha, Madhyama and Uttama. So if one remains a Kanishtha, he can fall down at any point, he can fall down very quickly. Because he only sees Krishna in the temple, he doesn't see Krishna in other living entities. He doesn't even acknowledge who the devotees are. So coming to the second class platform is very important. And from that platform, advancement becomes very fast. So the Kanishtha Adhikari, he only sees the Krishna in the temple. He doesn't even acknowledge devotees, doesn't see Krishna in any all living entities. But the Madhyama Adhikari, he has four distinctions. He worships Krishna as the Supreme Lord. He makes friends with devotees. He avoids the envious and he preaches to the innocent. And the Uttama Adhikari, he sees everyone serving Krishna except himself. So how to come to this second class platform? It's mentioned. The difficulty with the Kanishtha Adhikari is that he doesn't read the scriptures. And because of that, the modes of nature take over. And when the modes of nature take over, goodness, passion, ignorance, then our consciousness get clouded over. We cannot see things properly. And above that, he gets affected by three kinds of miseries. Adiatmic, adibhautik, and adidevik. So adiatmic means body and mind. The people have experienced, they go to work, even in family life, someone says something wrong to the person, gets upset very quickly. The body always giving some difficulty, can't sleep properly at night. He says, many people they suffer from asomnia, and some commit suicide because they can't deal with it. Other living entities, adibhautik, adiatmik, we see how you don't get it much in the West, but in India it's more prominent, like mosquitoes, snakes. You can't avoid it. It's just natural. But natural disturbances. We see people transgress God's laws, just like modern day leadership. They base everything on man-made laws, and they don't respect God's laws. And they try and interfere with nature. And we can see the consequences of that, how the disturbances are coming in. Earthquakes in different parts of the world, droughts. So we can see from this how... But it's explained how those who too do take shelter of Krishna, although the body is full of these disturbances, because of the connection with Krishna, the devotee doesn't get affected by it. The conditioned soul is affected because he's identifying with the body. Whereas a devotee, because he doesn't identify with body, he sees the body for Krishna's service. By Krishna's mercy, he overcomes those difficulties which the body goes through. So there's a little insight I'll give from Bhaktivinoda Thakur or something he speaks on. So this is Bhaktivinoda Thakur. He's explaining how why it's important to have scriptural vision. And Rupa Goswami also expands on that. He says, Shruti Smriti Puranadi Pancha Tatna Vidimida Upari Kalpate. He says that Ekanti Hari Bhakti Upari Kalpate. So Rupa Goswami says that devotional service which is not in line with scriptures causes disturbance in the society. So if one remains doubtful in spite of scriptural evidence, he is most unfortunate and useless. Why should he continue living? When Nityananda Prabhu distributed mercy, the fortunate living entities accepted and reached the perfection of happiness. Everyone should know the symptoms of an unfortunate living entity as well. It is he who is overconfident of the power of his own intelligence. Such a person rejects the mercy of the Lord, and by his And by the force of false logic, he falls repeatedly into the pit of illusion. Come, spirit souls of Kali Yuga, give up this hypocrisy and just accept the pure ecstatic love of Sri Gauranga. In this way, Nityananda Prabhu would call out again and again, but still, unfortunate living entities did not accept. Now let us consider carefully why these people did not accept such wonderful love of God. In the pursuit of happiness, living entities in the world follow various processes, such as logic or mystic yoga. In the quest of happiness, some give up the material world and go to the forest, while kings constantly wage wars amongst themselves. Desiring happiness, others run after women and wealth, while others take to arts and sciences. In pursuit of happiness, others reject happiness and learn to tolerate the miseries of life, and still others simply drown themselves in the ocean. Raising his lotus hands in the air, Lord Nityananda exclaims, "Come, living entities, give up the troubles of karma and jnana. Since you are endeavoring for happiness, I will give you happiness without asking anything in exchange. In this happiness, there is no troubles, no loss or pain. Just chant the name of Gauranga and dance without anxiety. There is nothing equal to the happiness that I am giving. That happiness is pure eternal ecstasy beyond all illusion." In this way, Nityananda Prabhu begged everyone to take pure ecstatic love. Still, unfortunate persons influenced by previous sinful activities did not even want it. But if such persons chant even once the name of Gauranga and Nithai, the effects of unlimited sinful reactions are destroyed. Listen, everyone, to the one more confident topic. The most suitable thing for the souls of Kali Yuga is the treasure of Gauranga Leela. Gaura Hari is a combined form of Radha and Krishna, who eternally enjoys pastimes in Vrindavan along with Sakis. Thus the truth of Radha and Krishna's eternal pastimes and glories of Raja Dham are known by everyone through the scriptures, and the unlimited glories of Krishna's name and abode are known through the scriptures by people over the universe. But still, actually obtaining Krishna prema is not at all common. Let us contemplate the reason why. Herein lies the secret of secrets which the living entities bound by Maya cannot discern. One who does not attain love of God after worshipping Krishna for birth after birth has certainly committed heaps of offenses. For only by chanting Krishna's name without offenses can one attain essential Krishna prem. Sri Chaitanya's incarnation, however, is most uncommon. By his mercy, even a serious person, though filled with offenses, can quickly obtain love of God. When someone calls out the names of Nithai and Chaitanya, Krishna prem comes looking for him. Offenses do not hinder his progress, and he soon sheds tears of ecstasy out of pure love of God. By the mercy of Lord Chaitanya, all offenses quickly flee away, and the heart becomes pure, and love of God fully blossoms. Because people in Kali Yuga commit unlimited offenses, which are difficult to check, there can be no means of deliverance other than Gauranga's name. Therefore, in Kali Yuga, I see no alternative to Sri Gauranga. This is also a proclamation of scriptures. So then, how does one come to this point of accepting, getting this mercy of Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda? It says, in the purport to 299, it must be here, Srila Prabhupada explains, the material body is overcast with five kinds of miserable conditions, namely ignorance, material conception, attachment, hatred, absorption. As long as one is overwhelmed by these five kinds of material miseries, there is no question of entering into the Vaikuntha Loka. So, in Prabhupada explains in many of his purports in the Bhagavad Gita, in the lectures and like this, he says, spiritual life starts when you accept you are not the body. And even in his conversations with scientists, Prabhupada would hammer this point about how we have to understand we are not the body. Hamsadutta, he challenged one scientist. He was challenging, this person was saying, I can create life on matter. So Hamsadutta challenged him, I'll give you $1,000,000 if you can prove it. I'll give you the elements, the material elements. You prove that life comes from matter. And the person didn't turn up. So that shows how and even Prabhupada told Jai Shishi Radha Gokulananda ki Jai. So we can see how and there's this is Sivaram Maharaj explaining interesting points about how people perceive things with their defects, but he gives a high understanding how the line of disciplic succession is very important, you know. People go by the ascending knowledge, but that has four defects: tend to cheat, make mistakes, be illusion, imperfect senses. So, religion or spirituality? Are you religious or spiritual? Today people increasingly identify themselves as being spiritual but not as religious. In the past, the words religious and spiritual were synonymous, but contemporary use of the word spirituality more often denotes a personal and internal approach not dependent on organized religion. The text, not but spiritual but not religious, was first used in 1960s in the scholarly works, but became more prominent in the early 2000s. According to study in 2012, undertaken by the Power Research Center on fifth use on the Power Research Center on fifth of the use public and third of adults under the age of 30 are reportedly unaffiliated with any religion but identify as being spiritual in some way. Of these religiously unaffiliated Americans, 37% classified as spiritual but not religious. There is a broad spectrum of spiritual not religious, but in general they object to the external rituals, institutionalizations and depolarizations of established religion. The alternatives that appeal to spiritualists are experiences of a mystical, unorthodox, exotic nature that have their roots in ecology, shamelessness, and mindfulness, among other things. But let us comment on the Vedic text of spiritual but not religious. In some ways they are right, in some ways they are wrong. They are right because their history shows how religion has often been transformed into money-orientated institutions, political tools, and even instruments of war. But realistically, these things are not at all not the fault of religion, but of humans who interpret religion to suit their own needs, suit their own ends. And when the essence of religion, which is genuine spirituality, is lost to hereditary or ritual or scepticism, then religion loses its soul. In rebelling against this, spiritualists are right. But here is where the spiritual, but not religious, is wrong. The spiritualism of today is often self-centered, and the practice of qualities like austerity and humility is absent. More importantly, its fundamental approach is subjective and speculative. Let me elaborate on this last point. Knowledge of anything can be approached in two ways: the ascending path or deductive reasoning, and the descending path or deductive reasoning. Religious teachings are based on the principle of perfect knowledge coming from the perfect source, God. In the principle, this descending path is foolproof. By contrast, spiritualism favors an ascending path that asserts that truth should not be legislated, that everyone has their own path to mysticism, and whatever works best for the individual is their path. The problem with this approach is that humans have four basic defects: that we have the tendency to make mistakes, that we are imperfect senses, that we are illusioned, and that we have a tendency to cheat. These defects are disqualifications to the subjective, egoistic ascending of mysticism. The bottom line is that spiritualists are guilty of the very same violation with which they charge religionists, that human imperfections distorts the essence of mysticism. I commend those who are discouraged with human distortions of truth in the name of religion, in the name of anything, but the answer is not to concoct an alternative. Don't confuse the happiness of illusion with spirituality. Rather, take the time to research authentic religious traditions, descending paths of truth, to find the one that you resonate with and in which the contemporary human factors perfectly follows both the original teachings and original practices. That is the spirituality of religion, and that is where spiritualists and religious meet. Because its essence, there is no difference between the two, at least not if we want to know the truth. Any comments or questions?
In Prabhupada said, the elements were created first, and therefore they entered into the bodily construction later. But in both circumstances, they entered the cosmos and also did not enter. I find difficulty to kind of a clear understanding of this. Elements were created first, and therefore they entered in bodily construction later. But in both circumstances, they entered in cosmos and also did not enter. Just to know what sense of it. Anyone has some?
Well, I mean, so certain things you can't work unless it gets revealed to you. Krishna reveals it, then you can.
I did not answer.
It's like I'll give an example. Like I read that Krishna's pastimes were. Mother Yasoda, Krishna ate dirt and then he opened his mouth because the coward boys were complaining. So within the mouth of Krishna, Mother Yasoda, she saw everything, you know, material elements and creation, mountains, hills, oceans, She saw herself with Krishna. She saw false ego. All the elements were there. And Govinda.
Well, I'm just going to speculate. See, you've got like a cup in the ocean. You can say, does the ocean enter the cup or not? Now you could say yes and no. Because the ocean is so big, it doesn't really enter into the cup. But there's an infinite number of universes. It doesn't really, we can't really say the elements enter into the universe.
It's not related to that particularly, but this is about religion in general, because I was listening to a lecture yesterday, not lecture, short video by Radhana Swami, who says, you know, the essence of all religions, he was looking for the common thread between all religions when he was young, and he found that there's this thread of just compassion, and that's a main theme. So we see in Christianity, they emphasize a lot on like being kind to your neighbor and have compassion towards all beings, all living entities, and that you create like nice, harmonious relationships within your communities. How is that related to our, you know, Vaishnava principles or this dharma to our process, like of just developing qualities, because what we center on, what we have a more philosophical basis. Like Christians don't really know about the nature of the Lord, the qualities, the pastimes. They don't have this information, if you would. What's the link or the connection between what they're talking about and what we are trying to accomplish here with Bhakti Yoga?
Prabhupada says in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, in discussing with Chan Kazin, Lord Chaitanya, he comments that the scriptures of the Christians and the Mohammedans, they're not eternal scriptures. They were given at some point in time to uplift certain kind of people to come to a higher platform. And Prabhupada also says he made it broad. He said, whatever religion helps you to develop love of Godhead, you follow that religion. But in other places, Prabhupada does say that what we are giving here is the highest, because other religions, they don't have a really concept about who is God, what his pastimes and activities are. Like Prabhupada gave a challenge one time. He said, you ask three questions to any religion. What is God's name? What is his address? And what is his telephone number? And they can't give the answer. We have the answer. God's name is Krishna. Telephone number Hare Krishna. The address is Goloka Vrindavan. So like that.
Is it still helpful to, you know, is your principle still helpful for us to come to the platform of goodness, at least, that you're not judgmental, for example? If you adopt those principles, does it help with our bhakti practice?
I mean, the essence of scripture is, like Jesus said, humble and meek and enter the kingdom of God. So you have to practice humility. Respect others, not get respect for yourself. And try and see everything in connection with Krishna. Because the more you understand who is Krishna, then Krishna will reveal to you how to relate to others on the way that's benefiting for them. You can't please everyone, you know. But when you please Krishna, somehow the things balance out. In the sixth canto of Bhagavatam, there's a story about Diti. Now, with Diti, she was offended that Indra had killed her two sons, Hiranyakashipu and Hiranyaksha. So she wanted someone to kill Indra. And she pleased her husband, Kashyapa. She pleased him. And he gave a blessing. And then he asked her to do the Prayavata vow. It's given in the sixth canto is given. And she did this Prayavata. But the condition was that if there was any discrepancy in the vow, then she would get a friend of Indra, not an enemy of Indra. Now, the demigods are powerful, you know, they're very alert. So Indra was observing the vow she was following. And one time she forgot to wash her hands and mouth. So he entered the womb and cut the embryo in half. And then he cut it again, and then 49 Maruts came. And they became friends of Indra. Now, her intention was to get someone to kill Indra, but the opposite happened. Because she took this devotional service of the Lord, she did this vow of Prayavata, and the opposite came out, where the friends of Indra came in, instead of the enemy of Indra. And Indra went to Diti, and she was happy she had 49 children, because women like children. And Indra took them to heaven. So this is the understanding, that the more you understand who is Krishna and you surrender to him, then everything works out nicely.
So, thank you, Prabhu. So you said, quoted that Prabhupada said that some religions are not eternal religions, like maybe Mohammedan and Christianity.
This is in Chaitanya Charitamrita, he quotes in the Prabhupada.
But there's in another place, Prabhupada mentioned that if we followed the examples of Jesus, then we'd be perfect, because he was a perfect Vaishnava, a pure devotee of the Lord, sinless. And so the example he left, so certainly something has gone wrong, because you know, in Christian world, it seemed like it's far away from the original teaching of Christ. And the number one is one of these teachings, thou shalt not kill. So and Christians defend this position of eating other living beings. And you mentioned Mataji that in Christianity we're taught to be compassionate and to have love and for others, but still they still won't give up this killing of animals and eating. So so I don't know if it's eternally if religion is not eternal, or it's basically they're not following the principles.
Prabhupada said somewhere, this is in Hari Swami Prabhu, he mentions that if someone's if someone happens to be a true Christian, if following the Bible properly, he'll go to where Jesus is, near Brahma Loka, and get turned up by Jesus to become more purified, to go back to Godhead.
That seems credible.
Interesting. So, what we are given is more direct. Because Jesus only came to give teachings to a certain class of people who were in a desert. He didn't give his teachings to everyone like Prabhupada. He's giving to everyone. Although Srila Prabhupada, he respected Jesus Christ as a spiritual master, and he gave great respect. But we can see Jesus Christ did have a place to play in Lord Chaitanya's mission, because the teachings he did give, we can see from his teachings many people are becoming devotees of Krishna. Isn't it? Like when Prabhupada went to America, Christianity is very prominent, and he made all these Jewish people into devotees of Krishna. Isn't it? And in Prabhupada's time, there were no Indians joining. mostly Westerners. Prabhupada was coming, I'm the only Indian. So we can see Krishna's got a bigger plan behind everything. He brings in all these great souls. Like he says in Brahmaloka, the inhabitants pray, they have compassion for the fallen souls of the material world. Occasionally they come down to give messages to the fallen souls of this material world. But Jesus did give many important teachings. If we can just follow them, we can be. And Prabhupada also acknowledged that. But it's important to see things for what they are, you know, like see the broader perspective. Because Prabhupada is going to write a commentary on the Bible one time. But then Prabhupada also commented that people will not read the Bible in the future because it doesn't give much detailed knowledge. It's very basic. People are more advanced now. So they'll read our scriptures more.
So I see this flower, for example. We offer material objects to the Lord, which is a part, He's within and without. So before it is being offered, it has less of a spiritual impact on us. But what after it's been offered to the Lord, it suddenly has more spiritual potency and we can benefit from that. So what's happening? Like what just happened? Because He's in this flower anyways, even before you offered it. Why does it become more spiritually potent after you've offered it?
Well, Mataji wants to answer the question.
Thank you, Prabhu. Well, I've personally heard in Srila Prabhupada's class that he said the particular for the flower, when the flower is offered to the Lord, that particular plant goes, it will get born as a human in next lifetime. So it doesn't have to go through all the processes of... So the purpose of all the plants are to be offered to the Lord. And they benefit from it. And then we, out of the gratitude, smell the smell, I mean the fragrance of the flower, because it's first offered to the Krishna, because Krishna is the one who is liberating that plant. I mean, that's my understanding from Srila Prabhupada's class.
Even the tree benefits, the flower you offer the tree from, that benefits also. Isn't it? Yeah. Jai, anything else? Okay.
Just to add that obviously, the offering is out of love. So, yes, Krishna is within the flower, Krishna is within everything. He doesn't really need anything from us. So what we are offering is out of love for Him, that whatever small thing we can offer to Him, to the mighty Lord, may He accept our love, a token of our love and our gesture. And then out of love, He accepts, and He then gives it back as His mercy to us. So it's only mercy that we after. We are all mercy cases. Only through mercy that we can actually, He can take us back to God and empower us to understand Him through the heart. Just like Brahma was empowered. I hope that helps.
Jai. Antara Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Prabhupada ki jai.